and then we're just going to jump right into it. Welcome back to Lighting Up the Marquee, everybody. Episode 76. Got a very special episode, very cool episode. Crossover, pretty much, with Tyler from the Depths podcast. How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I'm stoked to finally do this. We've been talking about this forever.
I know. We've been trying to plan this for a while. I think we were trying to plan it last year, but I was telling you season two was wrapping up and it was getting pretty filled. So I'm glad we actually were able to schedule something in season three.
Yeah.
Especially with how fast my show is now booking up with guest slots.
That's awesome. That's so sick.
Yeah. I'm trying to get it booked out. So instead of coming up on the next episode being like, oh shit, I need a guest. Like, who do I got?
Right. I need to take a page out of your book.
I'd rather just have everything planned out and be like, all right, cool. This is who I have on. Let's plan it.
Right.
But we got a very fun episode. We were trying to plan this to coincide with a Friday the 13th. But today
weird because we're going to be talking about the Evil Bong series for some reason. So I don't know.
I don't know why we planned that way. But we're going to be talking about the Friday the 13th franchise.
Yes.
Very excited, especially because I think I talked to you about it because Scream Factory had just released their new box set of it. Let me try grabbing it for everybody watching. Got the box set right here.
I'll show you. Yours, I'll show you mine.
As soon as I saw they were releasing it, I was like, gotta get it day one, because I initially had the 8 film collection, not the steel book of all of them. Because that one went out of print. I'd seen it before at a used Blu-ray store, but they were selling it for $300, $400.
Oh, so it wasn't the one that was like a folio book with the 3D glasses and everything? Because that's the one I had prior.
It's like a black tin case.
Okay.
So that one was out of print. So that one was going for $300. But now I think it's gone back down. I think it's down actually to $120 to try to match the Scream Factory one.
Yeah.
Because it's now it's the same thing. So it's not as rare anymore.
Well, and then because the box set looks beautiful, but the shit that happened with the box set too was awful. Three discs were wrong or messed up, and it took... Were you a part of that? Or did I told you about that?
You told me about it. I'm not sure if it happened with my box set because I had the 8 film collection. So prior to getting this box set, I had seen 1 through 8. I had not seen Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X. I'd seen parts of Freddy vs. Jason and the reboot, but I hadn't watched them fully.
Okay.
But those were the last 4 I needed to watch. So when the box set came out, I watched those, not the first 8.
And those are the few that I didn't get a chance to watch, but those are so fresh in my mind because I have a love-hate relationship with Jason X. I don't know if you listened when I had Zach from Death Comes Lifting on mine. We joked about having an entire show just based around Jason X because of how ridiculous it is.
Funny enough, because I went to film school, Jason X was a film we studied in one of our classes.
Really?
It wasn't even a film class. It was a science class. It was chemistry in science fiction films. So it's we went through a bunch of science fiction films and basically went through the science of all of them. And Jason X was one of them for nanobites.
That's so tight.
So we had to write a whole essay about Jason being reborn with the nanobites.
It's so ridiculous.
And it was interesting. It was a lot of fun. And then we had to do we had to watch Armageddon and then write an essay about everything wrong with Armageddon.
Armageddon came out, 98, 99?
Yeah, something around that.
Something like that. So I was, I'm old now, I'll make the joke, 7 or 8 when it came out. And I remember my mom loved that movie, but I remember rewatching that movie all the time when I was younger.
Mm-hmm. My friends and I discuss Michael Bay a lot, and we're probably going to discuss him on a future episode because... He's not necessarily a good filmmaker, but he's good at what he does.
He's a good entertaining filmmaker. Yes. Right? I guess if that's the way you want to put it.
Because we talk about he's not a good quote unquote study his films for the sake of filmmaking, but he's a good director to study because his style works for him and no one else can copy it.
I always make any explosion I see in a preview, I'm like, oh, it's a Michael Bay film.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much all his films are.
You see other people try to do his style and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you see him do it and it works.
Right.
It's something weird. It's like the same thing with this franchise that we'll talk about. But before we get into that, let's actually talk about your show. Let everybody know a little bit about it. I've talked about it and played your promo on my show. It's a great podcast, especially if you're a big horror fan.
Thank you.
Definitely check out From the Depths, but I'll let you tell everybody about your show.
Yeah, it's From the Depths podcast. It's essentially a horror show. I do movie reviews. I talk about what I've seen throughout the week and book reviews, and I try to have the occasional guest on, and I try not to take it too literal. I'll just break down what I like and dislike about movies, and I just kind of go from there.
I liked your whole Rob Zombie trilogy series that you did.
Thank you.
Because I'm personally a big Rob Zombie fan, and I know not a lot of people are.
I am too. And like my wonderful wife was a part of that with me. She was on for the Firefly trilogy. You'll probably hear her in the background chasing around her daughter. So if you hear any crashing or anything, that's what that is.
Well, I got my cat. I got my cats running around too. So
we just got a new puppy, so you'll probably hear barking and all that fun stuff. So sorry for anybody's ears that are listening. but yeah, so what I liked about having her on, we have very different opinions. If anybody has listened or going to listen about the movies, I'm also a big zombie fan, but I do think his style isn't for everybody because he can get kind of, I don't know, grotesque and vile. And
yep,
you know, I did not like Three from Hell, but as you can see behind me, I have a little bit of a problem with physical copies, and I'm a completionist, so I needed to buy it.
Oh, I'm the same way. I got kind of like in the corner. You can see like that's one of my shelves. There's another one literally right next to me.
Yeah, I got two giant ones behind me. Yeah, it's, you know, his style isn't for everybody, but I'm always intrigued what he's going to come out with, because I just read he is going to be doing a reboot of the Munsters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I don't know how I feel about it.
I was listening to him on Joe Rogan when he was on, like, I think 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about all the projects he wants to do. And he was even talking about, like, sports dramas. And literally,
really?
He was working on one about, I think, like, the Philadelphia hockey team or, like, something about it. And he's like, I spent 5 years of my life on it and it never happened.
That's crazy. Like,
he really wanted to do it and it never happened.
People shit on him for his Halloween movies, but I actually am a big fan of them.
They're decent. There's like parts of it I like and parts of it. It's like essentially shot for shot the second half of the first one.
Yeah.
But it was like, he has like interesting ideas, especially like delving into Michael Myers.
Yeah. The psychology of it, which John Carpenter hated.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Carpenter. I love Carpenter, but it's funny hearing like the banter between
right
what happened. But that's the thing. Like all of Carpenter's movies got remade for some reason in that weird mid-2000s time period. Like literally everything got remade.
I had no idea that Assault on Precinct 13 got remade. No idea.
That got remade. The Fog got remade. Halloween.
Which was awful.
the Thing got remade into like a prequel.
Yeah. Thing. I think one of the only ones, Big Trouble hasn't. Escape from New York hasn't.
Escape from New York might, though. I've been hearing rumors that Robert Rodriguez might do a remake, but that's been like rumored for a while.
I'd be okay with that.
I was fine with that.
I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Like, he's like the only director I'd be like, okay, you can remake a Carpenter film, especially that one.
I didn't hate the Thing prequel. Like nothing will ever top Carpenter's Thing, which is a remake in itself. People don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, when people ask me what's one of the best horror movies, I'll never put The Thing on my list because I feel like it's just a given.
Mm-hmm.
So
I always tell people The Thing, but it's not one I would tell them right away. That's like one you have to like, well, it's one you got to work up to, especially like you got to figure out their levels of horror, and not even like horror, but like grotesque, because it's so like the creature and everything so gory and like you got to work up to it. I feel like for some people.
I don't know. I guess I'm an asshole on this. I can swear on the show, right?
Oh yeah, you're good.
Okay. I guess I'm an asshole to where, have you ever seen Pieces?
I have not. No.
Okay. It's a grindhouse film from I think the 80s, maybe late 70s. Because I got a projector for my dad, and I was gonna have like a double feature in my backyard of the Pieces and the Mutilator. which is just shock value. And I was like, hey, people, come over. And I just want to, I like to see people, right, just to see people's reactions right off the bat.
That's what I keep telling my friend Kelly, who's been on the show with Hereditary. I'm like, just watch it. Just literally just watch it.
I loved Hereditary. I feel like people are trying to tear that apart, like piece by piece, to like really figure it out. And sometimes you got to suspend disbelief and just take it for face value.
Well, then there's people who are like, it's not scary, it's boring, or it's like, it's overrated, but it's like, no, it's kind of scary. Like, when you think about like everything that goes on in it.
Yeah. I mean, spoiler alert, like fast forward the next 30 seconds. If you haven't seen Hereditary, the barbed wire scene and just in the attic alone. And like, I do not jump during movies. In the past 5 years, maybe even longer, I can count how many times in theaters or at home I've jumped. And when she hit that attic in Hereditary, I jumped out of my seat in the theater.
Right. Like that, I saw that. So I saw it once in the theaters and it was a good theater experience. And then my friend who I went and saw it with saw it again and said that their theater experience the second time made the movie worse, but not because of the movie, but because of the whole like theater. Yeah. Like they said that their theater wasn't as dark. It was still kind of lit. So like you barely could see anything on the screen and that their like audio and the speakers wasn't good.
Really?
So they're
it's
like,
wild though, like how, so I'll always say Paranormal Activity. People can shit on that movie all they want. When I saw it in the theater, I was just like, all right, this is okay. Like I get what they were trying to do. But when I watched it again for the second time, when it came out at like 2 a.m. in my house alone, it was a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. As you hear every little creak that your house makes and you get like, I don't know, it's wild.
Well, especially with like a movie like that, where that's like found footage or like made to look real. So it's like, you're just watching like, it's as if like you're a security guard watching security cameras and like.
So it's like, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, that's accurate.
You're kind of just like, I'm going to quit.
Yeah.
But I saw Paranormal Activity not in the theaters. I saw it at my house when I was young. And the whole time I was just waiting for the guy to get thrown at the camera because it's in the trailer. And I'm like, that's the end of the movie?
Yeah.
I was like, come on. But yeah, everybody go check out From the Depths. It's a great show. I still don't know like what your schedule is for.
I don't either, man. It's, you know, and that's like my downfall and on my own worst enemy when it comes to that. Like working a full, like, since the pandemic hit, I work open to close and not like using it as an excuse or anything. But when I get home, I have a wife and I have a kid. And then, you know, having the time to watch anything, because I do have a toddler that just commandeers my entire TV every day.
Right.
So, so that's why like I came up with the tagline part-time podcaster, full-time horror nerd. Because when I have the time, I'll do it. And I'm trying to, I always try to be more consistent, but then life happens.
That's what happened with me. Like the very first season of this show, when I started, I was trying to do like what my buddy Nick was doing, have like 2 episodes a week, and quickly got burnt out on that. And then I was working at Universal. So when Horror Nights started, they were scheduling everybody's like your starting shift was at 7 or 9 and you would work until like 4 a.m.
Really?
Jesus. For like, for 5 straight days. So it's like my sleep schedule got messed up. Everything got messed up. I had like no time to sit down and watch something.
Yeah.
So like I would go to the movies and watch stuff if I was like waiting or like waiting for work or like waiting for my girlfriend to get off. But then I would have like 15 movies backed up to review that I was like, all right, I will just sit down and record all 5 episodes. And then I was just like, man, I'm done doing reviews. Like I'm burnt out on it.
And you know, I think one of my biggest things too is I had some shit happen with I guess we're not friends anymore. I'm not gonna get too personal about it. Where kind of I let his opinions, I took it to heart too much, and that kind of killed me for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I started thinking of it more as like a job than a hobby, which I shouldn't, because I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm doing this for my love of film. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you know, it's not as easy as sitting down doing a show for 20 minutes and you're being done. Like, I think way too fast in my head, and when I talk, it's mumbled. Mm-hmm. So I have to constantly like stop and re-record and all that. It's not fun. That aspect of it isn't fun.
like what happened with me too is like when I was doing them, it felt more like you said, like a job. It's like I have to do this even though I'm not being paid. So I was like, all right, I got to switch up this format because I want to keep doing podcasts, but I don't want it to feel like I have to do it or like a chore sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's like, I'm trying to get back in the, get out of that mindset because I do. And I, again, I think my podcast is garbage, but that's just my opinion. You know, cause I am my own worst enemy and my own worst critic. But I do get messages like every other day, like when are you getting a new show? When are you getting a new show? Stuff like that. So
you got people wanting it.
I know. I'm trying to find the time.
Like I thought my show was garbage the first season, like compared to like everything I did last year and this year with like guests.
Yeah.
Like the first season is so trash. And I'm so upset because my, like, I look at the top five episodes that have been downloaded and two of them are episode one and episode two. And I'm like, no, I don't want those.
Right.
<there."
laughs> When people always ask me, I'm like, yeah, just don't judge me on the first few episodes. Like the later ones, they get a little bit better. But go ahead.
I was going to say, like, my first episode's 7 minutes because it's literally just me introducing the show. And I'm like, yeah. No. I'm like, no, please do not.
And then I did get pissed is because I'm awful at editing. So like sometimes there is dead space. Mm-hmm. So my first episode where I did my top 10 horror of 2020, I switched up the program, I guess I was recording on. And then I fucking cut it. I edited it. I'm like, this probably sounds like the best I've any episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't listen to it all the way through. And I kept getting messages like, hey, it cut off like the last three. And I couldn't figure out why, because in the program, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I was like, well, fuck this, man. Like this sucks. So
which program do you use?
Anchor. I was using GarageBand to record.
Mm-hmm.
And then since I do say and have so much dead space a lot, I found it a little bit easier to cut and everything in Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I've seen, it's not like they give you a time limit. So I don't know if something happened there or not.
I use, so I've been using Zoom to record. And then I also have like a backup microphone recorder I downloaded for free to keep for time. And that's been working pretty well. But with Zoom, it can record my audio and your audio together, so I don't have to have two audio tracks.
Oh, that's tight.
Because when I was doing Skype, I would have my guests record their audio and then send it to me.
Oh, no.
But the nail in the coffin was when me and Arsenio did an episode, and for whatever reason, our internet connection cut out. On my end, it's like you can hear the dead space from when it cut out, but his end, it just like cut it and just kept going.
Oh no.
But literally every like 30 seconds we would be like unsynced and I would have to like move it and like resync it. It was like an hour episode, but it took me like 8 hours to edit.
Yeah, so, it's time consuming.
Yeah, that one was, I was just like, nope, Skype, like fuck you, I'm done. Going to Zoom.
Yeah. So, and also I think like when my wife was on, I tried to do like two mics at my Mac, and I think I tried to watch speaking about my computer fucking up.
I got you back. I didn't stop recording. It's just gonna keep going. I'll just cut it out. Like,
so yeah, I think I'm or whatever, and it was only doing one audio. So
mm-hmm. That's what I was doing on the first season of the show. Was I only had, I think I had two mics, but a couple episodes I would have like three guests. So like, one of the guests would have one mic and I would share with the other person. So
yeah,
it was annoying having to switch the microphone back and forth.
Yeah.
But I'm liking like the way I have the format now is good. Cause then I also, we'll put it in Premiere Pro, put my music in, put everything in, and I can see all the audio channels. And then, cause that's how I edit videos too. But instead of, exporting it as a video, I just export the audio file.
Okay.
And then I'm starting to do video clips so I can just edit all the clips together.
Oh yeah. That's sick.
But that's how I've been doing the show. Like, I think the way I don't want to like give, I want to give you advice on your show, but I don't want to like tell you how to run your show.
I take constructive criticism pretty well. So
I was going to say, if you like want to start getting like a scheduled format, what I did to start it out was be like, all right, I'm gonna commit to one episode a month. Like, doesn't matter when, like, I'm not going to announce it, just as soon as I get one done, like drop it. If you get two done, like, cool.
That's like, what that, That's what the plan was gonna be, and I think that's the, because I tried to do every other week, and then, you know, life. But no, the once a month thing is a good idea.
Because that's what I was doing, and then I was like, then I noticed I was releasing, I had like episodes every 2 weeks. I was like, okay, cool, I'm gonna make that my new schedule, like every 2 weeks, every, like every other week, every Friday will be when I drop an episode.
Yeah, a good idea.
So it's like, I'd start out with just one a month, just commit to that. So then it doesn't feel like a homework assignment. You're just like, all right, cool, I'm going to do one. And just do whatever you want. It's your show.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I was going to start just doing movies that I enjoy to get back in the habit of things. So I have a nice little stack of what I want to talk about next.
Awesome. That's good. But we're going to talk about a big chunk today.
A big chunk.
we're gonna talk about Jason and Friday the 13th.
Yes.
I'm very excited. So I think the earliest I was exposed to this franchise was maybe like before middle school, probably. Okay. Like I watched the first one and then I was like, where's Jason?
Yeah, that's so, I don't think, because my, I guess my love for movies, because I would just sneak and, well, first he wasn't the greatest when I was younger. He would just kind of, the shelves. I don't think the first one I saw, let me look, maybe the final chapter, and I didn't watch any of them in full chronological order until maybe like I was 18-19 years old.
Oh really?
Yeah, so like I try not to like have anything spoiled for me, so I had no idea that spoiler alert, was the killer in the first one.
Jason's bomb.
Yeah.
Here's the weird thing about this franchise, and I'll talk about it, is this whole franchise like was born out of a cash grab, essentially.
Yeah, because they were trying to make
it was them trying to capitalize off like the Halloween craze. What else was around at that time? Sorry, that was weird.
You're good.
FedEx was like looking for an apartment that wasn't mine, because like our apartments are weird. There's like different units, but it's all one building, but they're separated.
Oh, gotcha.
And they were looking for one of the other units. I was like, I don't know what's going on. But back to Friday the 13th.
Yes.
So I saw the first one. I think I saw it the same day, actually, as Paranormal Activity. I think we had
oh,
just,
really?
I think because this is when we used to go to like Blockbuster and just rent a bunch of movies. So we rented both of those. And then we watched him, and I was like, okay, this first one's like kind of cool. Like I like the whole Jason theme, or like the music before everyone gets killed. But then I was just like, where's Jason? That was like my whole thought the whole movie.
And I do like how it's always like, I guess the killer's POV, at least in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I guess throughout the series too.
But mainly that one is like,
yeah. I mean, they can't reveal what's going on.
No, they can't. That's like, so that probably would be like, that's why maybe the first one is probably considered the best one, but everyone knows it for Jason.
So which one's your favorite, really quick, then?
Personally, my favorite is Jason Lives Part 6.
Okay. Mine is Part 2. I love Sackhead Jason.
Sackhead Jason's good.
More than the hockey mask, and I will die on that hill.
I like Jason's like Part 6 just because of how goofy it is, and it's just like,
is that the telekinesis one? I always get,
no, that's I think that's 7.
Okay,
which the I was all... yeah, I was re- I got some I was reading stuff about that movie too.
God,
Part 6 is like, is when Tommy brings him back to life, and it's just like super meta, and like,
yes,
it's the James Bond intro.
Yes.
I just love it because it's how goofy it is.
I never say I'll hate a movie, but it's probably my least favorite out of the franchise.
Sixes?
Yeah.
Oh, man,
just,
I love it.
Just because of how ridiculous it is. And that's very rare for me to say, like, ridiculousness is my least favorite.
I love how goofy it is.
Dude.
But, so this whole thing was made off of a cash grab. I actually have the page up for it because I know around the time Halloween had come out, and I think that was the main franchise it was trying to rival.
Right.
Because then also around that time you had like one-offs like The Burning, Black Christmas was early 70s. And then Nightmare on Elm Street didn't start until 84. That was like the end of the slasher like craze when that one came out. Yeah. But what else came out? April Fool's Day, I think, was around the same time, which is...
Never seen it.
It's actually... It's interesting. It's like... It subverts your expectations a lot.
Okay.
I didn't know who is it. Biff from Back to the Future is in it.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
He's in it. He's good.
I don't realize, like, how much... So, like, with you saying going to Blockbuster and everything, you know... I'm also from the VHS era, and because me and my mom and brother would go there every Friday, and just walking through and seeing all the VHS covers so many times that you think you see the movie, and there's so many, I'm like, oh yeah, I feel like I've seen this, and I watch them, like, nope, sure haven't. Like, that Motel Hell was a big one for me that I always saw, and I just watched it for the first time like a year ago.
Oh, same. I just watched it. I got the Scream Factory edition of it.
Do you have the Steelbook one?
I did not get the Steelbook one because I got the regular one. Sometimes I don't like the Steelbook covers compared to their regular release ones.
I'll agree with that, yeah.
But I do like I've always said, like, Scream Factory, Arrow Video, and Criterion are, like, the three, like, big companies I'll throw money at because of, like, the work they put into their covers and, like, special features.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, like Blockbuster. I remember seeing the Silence of the Lambs cover so many times. Like, even growing up, that one freaked me out. Not because of the movie, but just the cover, like seeing it all the time.
I just started Hannibal for the first time, speaking of Silence of the Lambs.
Hannibal's all right. It's a...
All right. The TV series, you're saying.
Oh, No. I was thinking
The TV series I'm talking about. I was about to be taken aback for a minute because everybody says how great Hannibal is.
I think I watched one episode when it came out, but I got too busy and didn't keep going.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch it.
I'm like 4 or 5 episodes in the first season, and it has me hooked.
Well, Mads Mikkelsen, I think, was a great choice for Hannibal.
Yes.
But no, I'm talking about I think it's the Ridley Scott movie. The Hannibal.
Did he do Hannibal?
I think it's Ridley.
Oh, shit.
It might be. Let me double check that real quick. I mean, I thought that movie was all right, and like Red Dragon was pretty decent. Yeah, it was Ridley Scott. He did Hannibal.
All right. You learn something new every day.
I don't know who did Red Dragon, though. That might be... I don't even know if Ridley Scott was their first choice.
We can admit that Young Hannibal is the best out of all of them, though.
Young Hannibal? I remember seeing the cover for that, and I was just like, maybe. And then I never watched it.
No, I was just like, no.
I was like, maybe. And I was like, no, I'm good.
But speaking of, like, Shout Factory, with older films and them getting remastered, I have a love-hate relationship with it. Because with the graininess of, like, VHS and everything, you can really see the practical effects with the upscales and everything. And how ridiculous it does look.
I love Brett Ratner did Red Dragon. That makes sense. Okay. With Friday the 13th Part 3, it's so funny watching it not with 3D glasses.
Yes.
Because it's just them just... What...
Yep. Yep.
Just hold it to the camera. It'll look good.
Yeah, when I rewatched the first one, when Kevin Bacon gets the arrow through the throat, you can just... tell the prosthetic is on the bench, how great it looked at the time, but how awful it just looks now. But it still holds up.
Well, didn't Savini do the makeup for the first one?
Yes.
Savini, because I'm a big fan of Tom Savini, and that's why I love a lot of those 80s horror movies, is his work on them, and like Romero films. But you can also, because I think Dawn of the Dead, you could see his like red paint blood, and it's like a huge improvement 2 years later with Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
It's so great. But because this franchise, I'm just looking at the titles of it.
Oh, man.
I love it. This is the only franchise, I believe, where they literally tried ending it like 3 different times, and it's in the title of all of them.
Final Chapter. Final Friday.
Maybe just two.
Maybe it's just a two.
But it's just like, all right, let's end it now. Like, let's stop.
What I will say, though, is out of out of all the big franchises at that time, like Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th, I do want to say that this franchise has the most consistent storyline.
I don't know about storyline. I know it's probably the most consistent, like in the with how it is. 'Cause I know with Halloween, they tried making it like an anthology series. So like after Halloween 2, Michael Myers was done, then they're like, all right, let's do another Halloween story, but no one liked it. So then at 4, they're like, all right, we brought him back.
Well, okay, so Tommy Jarvis, he's introduced in what, part three, correct?
Is it part 3 or no, I think it's 4. I think Tommy's 4, 5, 6.
Okay. And then
And then it's
Jason Dixon, Hanton.
so with part 7, what I was going to say is what I read about that is they tried doing like a crossover with Carrie. It was going to be like Jason versus Carrie. That's
Oh,
why
no.
that's why the girl has telekinesis powers, is that was supposed to be like Carrie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I was reading about that because I was reading about like Freddy versus Jason and how they wanted to do. They wanted to do that a long time ago. Then they wanted one with like Leatherface. They wanted one with Ash from Evil Dead.
Well, they did have that comic book series, Freddy versus Jason versus Ash, which on paper, comic book wise, I think would be great. I don't know how well it would have came off in a movie.
No, but I
You
mean, I.
brought up Freddy versus Jason kind of early because I have a big question to impose on you. You feel like it actually fits in the Friday the 13th franchise, regardless that Jason's in it? Because I feel it's more of a Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
That's how I feel. It's more
It's,
of a, it's
okay.
definitely more of a Freddy movie.
Good. All right. Cool.
It's, I don't know, that movie's so funny. That movie's so funny to me.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
It's just like, but it's so good. It's so good. I
Love.
made my wife watch it, and I passed out during it because I was so tired. But I made her watch it like a year and a half ago, and I woke up. She's like, "What the fuck did you make me watch?" I'm like, "It was good though, wasn't it?"
I love how goofy it is. I love like Freddy going into Jason's nightmare and like making him relive. Is that the one where, oh yeah, where Freddy is the camp counselor when Jason's drowning?
Yep. So good.
Well, let's keep going with like the order of the film. So
Yes.
obviously the first one we have Jason's mom and she gets killed at the end, and then it's revealed that Jason's alive in the water, or like sort of implies that he's alive. We don't know if it's like a dream sequence or actually like.
Man, I'm blanking out right now. Did they even say how long he drowned before she went on a killing spree?
I don't know, but I can double check that real quick.
Gonna look up something too while you're doing that.
So it says in, it was in 50, it was in 1958 is when he supposedly drowned.
Okay.
Oh wait, hold up. No, it's, oh no. Okay, so they do say it was 57 when he drowned. 58 is when they start, the murder started happening.
Okay.
So it's because it says in 58 like two other counselors go off to have sex and then someone murders them. So then I'm assuming the camp closed down.
Well, that's what they deserve for having premarital sex.
That's what this whole film, it's Catholic propaganda. It's Friday the 13th.
Is it not?
Yeah, I mean, probably.
And then we have part two. Or are we done with part one? Or are we keep going?
Yeah, we're pretty much done with part one. It's basically just like the murders happen if you show up to Camp Crystal Lake. Because I'm assuming like what I remember from the film is they shut the camp down after those second murder, or that's the first murders because she didn't kill when Jason was like drowned.
Right.
So I'm assuming they shut the camp down then, and it's just become like, it's just been rotting away, so teenagers just go off there and like smoke weed and have sex.
I mean, I'm all for the first part.
We'll move on to part two.
Yes, where we're actually introduced to Jason.
Proper, like not proper Jason, but mo he's actually now the antagonist.
It's my proper
That's
Jason.
true.
But
Because his look in this is actually very similar to the killer from the town that dreaded sundown.
yes, and which
That's,
is also a great,
yes, that's a great underrated film.
especially the I think the remake of that one too is just So good.
I haven't seen that. I've just seen the original. It's like I've rarely watched remakes unless I hear they're actually like pretty good or like on par with
I
like
would, I
original.
would, I would say it's on par with the original.
Okay.
It's almost like I won't even I'll loosely say it's a remake, because it's almost with the I don't think this is a spoiler. It's been forever since I've seen it, but it's almost a copycat killer almost.
Oh, okay.
So if that makes any sense,
Yeah.
I forgot what I was gonna say. I just blanked out.
But I'm trying to remember part two of Friday the 13th. Oh, well. So I guess it's the movie takes place 2 months after the. Oh, no, hold up.
It
It
does.
start.
It's 2 months after. Because Alice, the survivor of the first one, is just hanging out in her apartment or whatever, like nothing ever happened. And then we meet Mrs. Voorhees again.
Oh yeah, in the fridge.
In the fridge.
Okay. So that's so weird that the protagonist from the first movie is just killed off right away, and
Right.
then it cuts to 5 years later.
Yep, and it's another school for camp counselors,
This
and then is this the one? Oh, what's the crazy guy's name that's always is trying to deter them or warn them? Is that the second one?
Is it the second one or is it?
It's fucked up. I just rewatched
Oh,
this and I'm blanking out.
a Crazy Ralph?
Crazy
Something like
Ralph.
that. He's in that one, and he's in the first one, the second one, and he's in Seven. Oh, he's the narrator is in Seven.
I don't remember that.
He's not in it. It's like his voice.
That's awesome.
Right? Oh yeah, because I think he died. Oh no. What the? Why is it? I'm looking up his filmography and it says like that was his final role was part seven, but he was uncredited for it. But I was like, oh, maybe he died because like around that time. No, he died in 2004.
But yeah, with part two, we're kind of just skipping all the way to the ending because that's one thing that always kind of sticks out for me is that how much of a psychological aspect it is for Jason, because she is that oh fuck she pretends to be his mother.
At the end, yeah.
Is that part two? Okay, again, I feel awful that I just rewatched these and I'm getting them all jumbled together.
Yeah, because I think she's like, because the head is in the barn, right?
Yes.
And
Yep.
then
With all the candles and everything.
I think she's impersonating his mom.
Yes. So not kill her, and then he gets the axe or machete to the shoulder.
Yeah. Isn't this the one that kind of like it ends the same way as like Halloween, where he falls out of the barn and then his body's gone?
Yes, I think
Okay.
so. Yeah.
So yeah, they just rip off Halloween at the end.
This whole, but like we just said, the beginning of this whole thing was kind of a rip-off of Halloween. So what do you expect?
The crazy thing about Friday the 13th is like everybody knows what you're getting into when you go into it, and everyone says how like everyone can say how bad this franchise is because it's just the same thing. It's just Jason killing people, but it made money. People
It
went to
did.
see these.
It did.
As like the crazy thing is like you know what you're getting into with these movies. It's just like because when I was watching one through eight when I had the when they re-released it on Blu-ray for like $20, just the first eight that universe I think because those are the ones Universal owned. Because I think part 9, 10, Freddy versus Jason and the reboot were different companies, so they couldn't release them. I watched them all like back to back, and I think four through six were all very like repetitive. It was pretty much just the same thing. So it's like every movie was kind of blending together. Part five, I probably would say is either part five, seven, or nine is probably my least favorite.
I actually am a big fan of Part Five,
I
and
think.
I think it's the whole Halloween three aspect of it too,
Right. I
because
think.
he's not Jason's not really in it.
He's no. I think
He's not in it at all.
I've talked about this on my show. Like part five is a copycat of
Yep.
Jason.
And it's but I think the it makes sense though, because the psychological break of the sheriff watching his or picking up the pieces of his dead son, that he didn't like the son didn't know that was his dad. That was a weird premise, but
I was watching Red Letter Media talk about the Friday the 13th sequels, and it was so funny because he brought out like a poster board of like every character in like part five, and they're like, no, that character's in four, not five.
Really?
He was like there's so many characters he forgot were in one movie or in another, because like they introduced so many people.
They do, and it's hard to feel bad for any of them when they get,
because you don't have a connection to them.
Yeah. It's like, I just feel like you, and maybe that was the whole point. You just go to these movies just to watch
Jason kill people.
Right.
There was a, I think the producer of the movies even said that, like, one of the movies, I think every 8 minutes needed a kill. I feel like it was part five or six.
And Jason has the highest body count of any slasher in horror.
Because it's literally like they knew what people wanted to go see it for. So they're like, all right, every 8 minutes you need to kill somebody. Because like otherwise, I don't know which one it was.
Yeah. What's your favorite Jason kill? I feel like everyone's answer is the same.
I feel like there's a lot of good ones. I think my favorite, just because of how funny it is when he puts the girl in the sleeping bag and just like hits her against the tree.
Yep. That's mine too.
Because it's just like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's like, it's so goofy.
It's, again, this whole franchise has ridiculous, like, Jason Goes to Hell. That might be one of my least favorites, to be honest with you.
No, I'm thinking about that one. That's probably my least favorite. That one's like, it's so weird, and it's like not weird in a good way, because Jason's in it, but then it reveals like Jason himself is like this squid thing that infects people's bodies, and then whoever has it is Jason.
It's essentially a body snatcher movie. I know we're jumping back and forth between all of them, but yeah, it's just.
But the weird thing in Jason Goes to Hell is you get the thing, and it's not even like Jason takes over your body; like you just turn into Jason with the mask and all.
Yeah,
it's what is this?
It's bonkers.
Jason X is good though, because it's so campy.
Oh my god, dude, when I first saw Jason X, I thought you could have asked me. I said it was my favorite out of all of them when I was like 12. And then growing up and just rewatching it, I'm just like, this is fucking stupid, but stupid in a good way.
It is. It's so, like, the weird thing is too is like in that one, I think Jason has probably the most menacing look with like the red eyes and the metal mask.
Yeah.
Like,
one of the first ones that started like just horror stuff in space? It might have been Leprechaun, actually.
Well, Alien is like sci-fi horror, and that was in space, but like
a straight slasher though, or like anything like that.
That went to space. I probably was like Leprechaun or Jason.
Yeah,
because they're probably just like at this point, like fuck it, like send them to space.
Like I was when I worked at a tattoo shop, we had a slow day, and me and my buddy we were watching the Sharknado series, which is crazy in its own right. And I made the joke. I'm like, well, next scene, they're going to be in space. What do you know? They were in space.
Well, I mean, that's where the Fast and Furious franchise is going. Their next one, they're like, we're going to space.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Are you being sarcastic?
No.
Shit.
I follow the Fast and Furious franchise too closely for how stupid it is.
Well, never saw anything past Tokyo Drift, and Tokyo Drift's the best out of all of them that I've seen, let's be honest.
I like Fast Five because it's like a heist movie.
And that's when I had COVID at the beginning of the year, and I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna sit down and try to go through all of them. I made it till five, and I really enjoyed four.
Mm-hmm.
Four just felt so dark for what it was.
I'm trying to look at I'm trying to make sure I get it right. Well, here's what's going on with Fast and Furious. It's a sidetrack.
Sidetrack from Friday the 13th to Fast and Furious. I love it.
Why not? F9 is supposed to come out this year. Then they're doing a 10th and 11th Fast and Furious movie. But on top of that, they have another Hobbs and Shaw sequel coming out. And then they have a female-led spinoff of Fast and Furious coming out.
Huh.
This is everything that's going on. I don't know if F9 is the one where they're going to space. Or if it's like 10 and 11.
I'm intrigued on the whole like female aspect of. I like how that's like they're shifting from all like men have to do this shit and like female can new stuff now. They did that with what, Ocean's 8?
Yeah. But I guess the 11th film is supposed to end the franchise, supposedly.
Supposedly, until 5 years later they come up with another one.
Honestly, that's what they're gonna do. I thought it was F9. I heard they were going to space.
I mean, I'm about it.
I'm
I'll
like,
watch it.
at this point, like the same thing happened with the Machete franchise. The third one was supposed to be him in space, and I was like, I need that film. Where
Oh
is it?
God.
Where is it?
I never put a clip together that Machete is a spin-off of Spy Kids.
Oh yeah, it's a great
Dude,
spinoff.
when I found that out, I think I cried from laughter.
It's so funny because it's like it's the same character. And I remember hearing when Machete Kills came out, Antonio Banderas was in it, and I thought he was going to play the dad from Spy Kids, but he plays some like other character.
That's hilarious.
That should have just been well. And then the two kids from Spy Kids are in the Machete movies.
I've only seen the first one and I don't remember that.
He gets killed, I think, pretty quick. Or no. He's in it. It's the boy in the first one and the girl in the second one.
Okay.
Because I don't think he's in the second one. He's in the Halloween remake.
He's the bully that gets murked.
Yeah, that's the kid.
That's we might have to do this again and we'll come on and talk about that because that's brutal.
The Rob's or just Halloween in general.
I mean, why not both?
I'll
Fuck
just
it.
talk about Halloween. I've been wanting to talk about those. I know. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it. I know my worst, like my least favorite Halloween.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna spoil it here.
Resurrection, isn't it?
No, I'm not gonna spoil it here.
I'll wait.
Let's get back to Friday the 13th. Let's talk
Yes, yes,
about 3D, how dated it looks and how funny it is,
yes.
because oh man, I wish the Scream Factory one came with 3D glasses.
It would have been nice because I know the little box that I had prior did. And
I don't think it did. I just opened it. I didn't see any.
I didn't have a it wasn't a legit 3D disc either, and it still looked bad from what I remember.
I just love those old movies like that and like Jaws 3D when it's
God.
like they're just trying to do all the most up-to-date effects and just how bad it aged.
The one positive thing about this movie is it was the first film to take E.T. off the number one spot of the box office.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
It was Friday the 13th 3D.
3D.
That's funny. Steven Spielberg was probably like at home
I
that
was so
weekend.
pissed, dude.
What movie? Let's see how E.T. is doing in the box office.
Oh,
Number
man.
two.
But this picks off right after two, doesn't it? Like right after two.
I think because I remember reading or hearing that like some of the films literally take place within like 2 weeks of each other.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I think it's four through. It's not four through six because that's Tommy growing up.
Oh, good old Tommy. Corey Feldman. I wish he would have just stayed.
On the franchise,
Yeah.
well, they probably like had to age him so he wasn't old enough yet. But
That's true.
let's
See, I
see.
don't think about those things. That's why I have you here.
It's so weird that they didn't like for like any of the sequels bring him back. They pretty much were like, all right, after six, Tommy's story is done.
Yeah.
Even though he's like the only protagonist really in the whole series that keeps going beside Jason.
Yeah, he is.
Like he's the only character that reoccurs in more than one film.
I think it would have been cool to see Corey Feldman come back in the remake as just some random role, as like a nod,
Yeah.
just so he can get like murdered.
Wasn't no, Tom Savini wasn't in the remake, was he? Or was he?
I don't think so.
Because it's like get those people who were involved in the originals and like throw nods to it. That's what they always do, but they
Yeah,
didn't.
we just watched 21 Jump Street, and like there were so many characters in that they just threw in there that were in the original TV series. And
Yeah.
I love when directors do that. Now I get scheduling and money is a thing,
Well, I think
but
with the 21 Jump Street, it was so cool seeing like Johnny Depp come in for it, like that big name
yeah.
actors just to come in and do a little cameo.
What's funny is you don't realize that's him throughout the entire movie. And you're like, oh yeah, I can totally tell now.
Like rewatching it, I'm like, all right, that's Johnny Depp the whole
Yeah,
time.
right.
Like, well, because they brought him back for, again, another horror franchise. They brought him back for Nightmare on Elm Street for, what was it, Wes Craven's New Nightmare?
Johnny Depp?
Yeah, he's in another Nightmare on Elm Street movie as like a cameo.
I didn't know that. I thought, because I know with anything with Friday or Nightmare on Elm Street, like panels or anything, like he just doesn't like to be a part of it for some reason.
I don't think he likes to be a part of any, beside Pirates, I don't think he liked to be a part of any promotional thing or like to watch his movies.
I got to go back though and figure out, okay, thanks for letting me know that because I'm really intrigued now. I'm
trying to find which one of them. Okay, so he was in The Final Nightmare. It was a cameo.
Okay.
I don't know if it was actually him or if it was like maybe like archival footage reused. But it says it was him in it. This was like, because this was also after like Edward Scissorhands had come out, so he was already like getting A-list status.
Okay.
But yeah, he's in that one, I guess.
Kind of like how Matthew Lillard was as a cameo in Scream 2. Do you know that?
Does he?
Yeah.
Which one? Like which part?
It's when they're just talk. They're out there talking, and he's like in the background somewhere.
But just standing there.
Yeah. So that's because that's a big thing with Scream 5 coming out. There was a huge rumor that what if Stu makes a comeback and is like the killer in Scream 5 if he ever really died.
Just get Stu and was it Billy?
Billy, yeah. Billy's dead though.
Billy's dead.
Unless they do a whole, you know, Jason goes to hell type thing with Billy and he just does that with a bunch of people.
Just bring him back with nanobites like Jason X.
There you go.
They could do it. I'm like still iffy about that whole Scream reboot, but
it's not a reboot though. It's continuing the story.
Well, reboot in the sense that it's like coming back after Scream 4 was 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, but Scream 4 was originally supposed to be another trilogy.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they it's 'cause Scream is my favorite horror movie of all time.
It's really good.
That's one that I've watched so many times. And I loved Scream 4. People shit on it so much.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty solid one.
I didn't go to film school or anything. I can see why people like to shit on how it was shot, because like the lighting and everything looks a little off, but I loved it.
Well, Wes Craven's not a director they study in film school, but he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Which is weird. I don't know why they don't like they don't like study horror directors at all in film school. So like there's no classes on like Carpenter or Hooper or
honestly, like I didn't know that, but I feel like that's gonna change after like Ari Aster and
I think it already is with Jordan Peele.
Yeah, yeah. I would say Peele, Aster, and Flanagan. Those I would say are the next like kings of horror in film.
I would throw Robert Eggers in there too.
Yeah, I do love The Witch.
I love both The Witch and The Lighthouse, but he's like definitely doing new stuff, but also keeping old school.
Yeah,
like, super old school, especially with The Lighthouse.
Dude, that what?
Oh, I was saying with The Lighthouse, he kept it super old school.
What?
Can you hear me?
Oh, I was just The Lighthouse. I was quoting what?
Oh, what?
I was hoping you'd pick up on it, but you know, I'll take that.
You bamboozled my ass.
What? But yeah, let's get back to Friday. Where are we at now? Are we on Jason Lives? I feel like we're just kind of
we're jumping all over the place.
But that's okay. That's what a show is, right?
It is. We could do the final chapter where Tommy Jarvis is introduced. I don't know if we really talked about it besides Corey Feldman.
Yeah, yeah. He just being a kid and witnessing all of that shit definitely is going to be a little traumatizing. But can we talk about crazy looking Tommy Jarvis at the end? Because that.
Yeah. He's not on the back. I was trying to look for that.
But his alien mask is.
His alien mask is. What if Zombie got the inspiration for Michael Myers psychologically from Tommy Jarvis at the end of this movie?
Oh, shit.
Where it's like, you know what, Tommy Jarvis got fucked up from Jason? Let's explore that with Michael Myers and see what happens, like, actually.
The one thing I did like, though, is how, you know, Tommy Jarvis as a kid is such a horror fan. He does make up all those masks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the psychological aspect of it. And two, you had, I forget her name, but act like her mother, his mother. And then in this one, you have Tommy Jarvis like shaving his head to make Jason look like he's looking at a younger version of himself.
Mm-hmm. That's like a really cool, I think there's like, isn't there a shot of him looking at Jason from like how he looks as like what Jason would look like and then actual killer Jason?
I think so. Yeah.
I think 4 is a pretty solid movie, honestly.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I like stuff with children always like being the like the good guys and everything and always coming out on top.
I think 4, because that's with like Crispin Glover, is like, I think that's the only one where you kind of feel bad for some of the characters getting killed, because it's like it shows them in like the suburban, like they're actually having like a nice life, and
yeah,
Jason kind of ruins it.
Because that man is such an underrated actor.
And Crispin Glover is great.
Dude, he, and you do feel bad for him because he just seems so timid and everything.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie. So I guess that's one out of 12 movies you feel bad for somebody. You have a connection with it, you know?
Well, I think it's like, was it Jason 5 or this one? Doesn't like, he just kills the fat guy just for being fat, right? And it's like, wasn't
that? Oh, with the, in 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was just chopping wood and he didn't want a chocolate bar.
Yeah, I like felt bad for him because I was like, oh man, that sucks.
So, like, and this is where, because I don't think they do, I don't know, maybe they do make it seem like it's a dream sequence. The only time in 5 where Jason's actually shown is in the beginning with those people digging up his grave, and a young Tommy is looking at it in the rain, and then he wakes up in a van.
Mm-hmm.
So I take back what I said. That is the only time Jason actually shows up in 5.
Other than that, he is not in the film. He's buried.
Correct.
So we kind of talked about 5 with the not being Jason. Honestly, that one, like, beside that aspect for me, is kind of forgettable because it's like, Jason's not really in it. Like, once you know that, it's kind of like, eh.
And I think the one thing I watch these out of order, but Jason never makes a sound when he gets hit or anything. He just takes it. And in 5, he gets hit with a shovel or something, and you hear him grunt.
Mm-hmm. So that's like a...
That's the one thing I picked up on, is where, okay, maybe this is something else is going on.
Right, like it's not Jason. Like, Jason never does that.
Right, and like how... I guess how small he looked. Because I remember in 4, he looked kind of like big.
I don't know which one. I think it's 6 when Kane Hodder's takes over as Jason.
And let's be honest, he's the best.
Yeah, he's the one that actually embodied Jason.
I'm so, because he was in all of them until Freddy versus, or was no, did that Derek guy was in Jason X.
He was in he was Jason X.
He was Jason. Okay, so that Derek guy, he was in Freddy versus Jason, and I watched Kane Hodder's documentary, which I think is on Amazon Prime or Shudder. And the shit that man has went through, and to see him almost tear up for not getting Freddy versus Jason was heartbreaking.
That's like, I feel like he would have made Freddy versus Jason like Freddy versus Jason's already fun, but I feel like he would have made it, like he would have elevated it with him and Robert Englund.
Yeah, because like it, obviously Jason is just, I don't want to say just there, but he has a presence to him for how he holds himself and how he walks. Same thing with Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can definitely tell the difference between.
Because it's like the same thing with Michael Myers. Nick Castle has definitely a presence to him versus anybody else that plays Michael. Maybe like I can rival like the Rob Zombie one. I think I forgot who he got to be Michael, but I thought he...
Tyler Mane.
Tyler Mane I thought was good because like, yep, he's a big dude.
And I know that because I feel bad for admitting this. I'm actually a big the first X-Men movie fan, no matter how bad that was.
He's
And
us.
he Sabretooth. And he
Right.
was also a professional wrestler, so.
But like he would like he's so good as Michael. But like I love in the remake or not the reboot. Yeah, it's the reboot, the one in 2018 with they brought Nick Castle back, which I thought was so cool.
And that's I because I mean obviously we'll be talking about oh wait actually I'll hold what I'll say about remakes when we get to the remake of this one.
Okay. So I just looked up Kane Hodder. He started Jason in seven. So from seven, eight, nine. Where's it at? Where's part nine at? Part nine and Jason X. Those are the only four movies he played Jason in.
So, Manhattan, Final Friday, Jason X, and
And New
New
Blood,
Blood?
part
Okay.
seven. And then he was Jason for the video game, like he did the mocap for it.
Did you play that?
I've been wanting to play it. I haven't played it
They canceled any updates for it, because I'm pretty sure it's a dead game now.
right.
But that movie is fucking hard. I was getting so pissed off with it. Again, you want to talk about not jumping at anything? I bought it, and I have like a 5.1 surround sound, so I got my back speakers, and I smoked a little bit, a lot of it, before playing, and maybe that's why it was so hard. But that game was fucking creepy.
I've been wanting to play it. When once we get past the reboot, I can talk a little bit about what I just researched as far as what's happening with the franchise.
Okay.
Because I'm curious about it too, with what's going on with it.
Yeah, I read some things recently too, so I'm curious as well.
But let's move on to, so we kind of also talked about Jason 6, how it's just super goofy and like the reason I like it is because it kind of realized like, okay, we can do whatever the fuck we want. People are gonna come see this. So they kind of played into the whole campiness.
Yeah.
I forgot Alice Cooper has songs in it because I'm looking at the back.
Oh yeah.
But that, like, this whole franchise too is literally just like a whole fuck it franchise. Like, do whatever you want.
It really is. And that shows just how crazy it gets in the later sequels.
Especially like because six is just like we could do whatever we want. We'll have them do a James Bond intro. Who cares?
What's besides part two being my favorite, Jason, I will say I think New Blood might be my second. If I had to pick, because that's when he's like underneath the water with the chains all over him.
I will say, like, with I thought Kane was in part six, but I will say with New Blood, I think it's awesome seeing this is when Jason actually is Jason because of Kane.
Yeah, maybe that's why I have that feeling.
Because I think with him versus like any other Jason, like all the other Jasons were just like there killing people. Kane kind of added like more of a presence and more of like someone underneath the mask versus just like a psychopathic killer.
Right.
I mean, Kane's also just a big menacing dude himself.
Yeah, that dude is, and with you can really see his size too in Hatchet.
In
I would
Hatchet.
love to see a Victor Crowley versus Jason movie. As crazy, as ridiculous as that sounds.
There should just be like they should just put all these franchises together. They're all in the same universe.
Didn't they kind of do that with Death House?
Was it?
I don't want to say like characters, but I think they had like Robert Englund, Kane Hodder, and other people that have played like big name characters as like prisoners or something. They have to kill each other to survive.
Oh yeah, they have like Kane Hodder. Barbara Crampton, Bill Moseley, D. Wallace, Tony Todd.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not their same characters, but they're all in it.
Right.
Sid Haig's in it.
R.I.P.
He has a movie coming out. He actually has one more coming out.
Sid Haig does?
Yeah, I was just looking it up the other day. It's called Abruptio.
Okay.
Or he had two. One came out last year called Hanukkah, but I don't know what happened with it because there's no info on it.
Okay.
And then there's one called Abruptio, and it's a puppet animated horror film. And it has him, Robert Englund, Jordan Peele, and Christopher McDonald's in it.
Really? I'm intrigued.
And it's a puppet, like, animated movie.
Kind of like the El Bistro or Bistio, whatever.
Super Bistro. Yeah, but it's more, I feel like it's going to be like Team America. I don't know about Team America, like marionette puppets, but.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it's going to be. They only have a teaser poster for it.
I'll have to look that up when we're done.
But yeah, it's going to be released like later this year.
Okay.
To a streaming service. And I'm going to guess Shudder. That's what I'm going to guess.
I love Shudder. That is a good one.
I had to get rid of it because I have other streaming services, but I'm going to get it back when George Romero's movie, The Amusement Park, gets released on there.
Oh.
Because that was his lost film from 73.
Okay.
It was made, I think he got hired by like some church to make a PSA ad for like elderly people. And it got deemed too terrifying that they never released it.
Oh, shit.
Because it's about like... It like just resurfaced in the last few years, and now
you're schooling the guy that has a horror podcast right now.
It's like I've been keeping tabs on it for a while because I've been wanting to watch it after reading about it. Let me get it because it was supposed to get released around the time maybe like I think The Crazies was released.
Okay.
And it never did because it was deemed too terrifying. It was commissioned by the Lutheran Society. And it's basically about an elderly man finding himself disoriented and increasingly isolated as the pains, tragedies, and humiliations of aging in America are illustrated by his journey among roller coasters and chaotic crowds.
I'm in. I'm in for anything Romero.
And it's his lost film. Like, no one's ever seen it.
Well, you know what's like... They say too crazy. Crazy for that time. We'll watch it now and we'll probably just laugh.
Oh, probably. But I'm just down to see more Romero movies.
Yes.
But where were we at? We're on Jason Takes Manhattan, I believe.
Which has one of the best scenes out of the entire franchise.
Which scene are you talking about?
Where he's fist fighting in the building.
Oh, yeah.
My buddy Cody Dauk, he's one of the few that do like art for my show and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he grabbed or drew a bunch of posters. Actually, give me one second. So this is his part two. If you can see.
Ooh, nice! I like that one.
Then I got I'll plug him really quick at Cody Draws on Instagram.
He's got a lot of good artwork. I followed him after finding out he did the art for your show. I like follow his stuff.
Yeah, it's Cody with an EY because he'll yell at me if I don't say that and try to correct people. But he did one for Takes Manhattan, and it is the scene of Jason just punching a dude's head off.
There's another artist on Instagram that I follow called Theater of Creeps.
I think I follow them too.
He has a lot of cool like horror artwork that's like comic book-esque. And I know he dropped, I think it was part four, part two, and Jason Takes Manhattan like posters and prints. So I got all those and I got the hoodie for part four.
That's tight. There's another artist. I can't think of what it is or what their name is right now on Instagram, but they do, it looks like oil paintings of different masks and they did every single Jason one.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'll tag you in it when I come across it again.
Yeah, I'm always looking for like cool artists on Instagram. So like,
and that's the one thing like I try to do with my podcast, like regardless whether or not I put an episode, I just try to plug everything I possibly can on, whether it's the show or my page.
Mm-hmm. That's what I try to do too, is try to get like with people on my show, try to get a bunch of different like filmmakers, podcasts, like literally anybody.
Yeah.
Try to get them onto my show and like promote their stuff as well.
Because you never know who's listening, what they're into. So it's good to have like a good open.
Well, like I messaged you because I saw you had like your birthday was yesterday as we're recording this. You got Synchronic, Blu-ray, and on my show I interviewed Aaron and Justin who directed that movie.
And I have yet to watch it. And there's I'm very weird of listening to shows about movies that are newer that I haven't seen yet because I don't like to get anything spoiled for me, like I'm sure everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I from what I've seen from them, I loved The Endless. So I'm very excited to see Synchronic.
Did you watch Resolution?
Not yet. Because it's Spring, Resolution, and Endless for like a trilogy, right?
Spring, not so much. Like they're technically all in the same universe, but Resolution and Endless are definitely connected.
Okay.
Resolution, I love. That's probably my favorite from them.
Oh. I don't have any plans tonight. Maybe I'll pop that in.
I know. Well, because I know when I interviewed him, we kept it really, like, we didn't spoil anything in Synchronic because it hadn't released, I believe.
Okay.
So we were keeping it pretty spoiler-free. But actually, that's where I got my cats from, was from Aaron. I adopted them because he was fostering them.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's how I got the connection with him.
That's awesome.
Well, again, that's all through social media. That's how everything works.
That's like, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, social media is.
Oh, yeah. Like, everyone, you want to stay off of it, but then it's also like, oh, well, got to connect with people.
I hate it, but I love it at the same time. It's.
Yep. I'm the same way.
Like, there are times where, like, when I watch a movie, like, I have to put my phone somewhere else. So I'll just feel drawn to it to, like, just scroll through shit.
Oh, yeah. That's like, or when I'm watching movies, I'm always, like, researching, like, what's this actor been in? What's this director done?
And then you miss something and it takes you 3 days to finish the movie.
Yep. I'm like, I got to pause it. Got to go back.
Right.
Oh, man. And especially with like these movies, when I was watching them, was like, I'm missing stuff. Like, I don't know which part I'm in anymore.
Yeah. But again, like these movies can over, especially if you sit down and watch them all at once. I'm a prime example of that, how I can't remember what's going on that we're talking about.
Well, now we can talk about, I'm probably going to say this is the worst one, is Jason Goes to Hell. And we talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
It's basically Jason is a slug. And that's who Jason is.
Yeah, it's, and they don't explain why either.
This was where Freddy got teased. This is the one they had.
Very end though, right?
Yeah, it's like a post-credit scene or something. Either a post-credit scene or the very last scene is Freddy grabs Jason's mask and like pulls it to hell.
So that. Okay, so that took one movie in between for Freddy versus Jason to become a thing.
But Freddy versus Jason came out 2000, so it took 10 years from when, because Jason Goes to Hell was 93.
Isn't that crazy? Like, as in a film school, like, how do you feel about stuff like that?
I'm just like, here's the thing. It's probably the same way I felt about the Mummy movie that came out a few years ago.
Ugh.
When they're trying to connect it to all this shit, and now it's just like, it's never gonna happen, so it's kind of pointless.
Before I gotta say one thing about the Mummy movie, but before I go into that, I do have this book, Splash of the Titans, which I haven't read yet, which goes over the everything, why it took so long to create Freddy versus Jason. I think I got it for like $12 on Amazon if you're interested. But okay. The Mummy. Oh man, I don't know if offend anybody, but when I first heard reviews, I heard it was a steaming hot fire piece of dog shit.
Yep.
Then I watched it. It was still a pile of dog shit, but I could respect what they were trying to do. I think if Tom Cruise did not have the final cut rights, it could have been a lot better.
Yes.
Well,
the thing about the Mummy, it's the same thing I have issues with, like, the DC movies, is everybody's trying to be Marvel. Everyone's trying to build their cinematic universe. without setting anything up. They're just trying to, they're just literally trying to be like, all right, let's get to Avengers by the second movie.
Yep. I, out of all the DC movies that I've seen, I haven't watched 84 yet, but Wonder Woman is my favorite that they've done for this universe. I haven't watched Justice League yet. I'm going to wait for the Snyder Cut.
I'm going to watch. I've seen Justice League and it was not good.
Yeah.
I've seen all the DC movies because I like, honestly, I'm more of a DC fan than Marvel, but like, I know the DC movies are not that good.
And with that being said, because like Cody is also a big DC fan versus Marvel, because that man loves Batman to no other. I'd say DC characters, depending on what it is, have a more realness to them that people can connect to, rather than I feel Marvel. I feel like that's the biggest argument that people bring up. But
I know, like, well, I also say like with DC, at least as far as like Batman goes, Batman has way better villains than literally any Marvel hero.
I'll give you that.
Literally any. And that's probably like the saving grace of DC is just Batman's villains.
Yeah. But like, okay. Is Batman a superhero?
He's a vigilante.
Okay. All right. Good answer.
But he is a billionaire and I'd love me some Batman.
That's true. But how do you feel about Pattinson? I know we're gonna segue everything we talk about, but
I love my boy Pattinson.
Good. I do too.
I'm down with him as Batman. I've been championing him since season one of this show when they announced him as Batman. I was like, he's a perfect choice.
And everyone pigeonhole him to Twilight way too much, and that man can fucking act.
Yep. That's what I say. I'm like, get past Twilight.
Yep.
He's so much better.
I think we talked about a lot of Jason Goes to Hell. That, do you want to just go into Jason X, or do you feel like we've talked about a lot of that too?
I feel like we've talked a lot about both. Jason X is a lot funnier and a lot more of a good time than Jason Goes to Hell.
I feel like Jason X is a good movie to just get a group of people and drink to.
Yeah. The thing about Jason Goes to Hell is I feel like that movie kind of ruins Jason. Because you're just like,
yeah.
You're just like, oh, he's this menacing killer, but then it's like, no, he's this slug being.
So I think like when I said I sat and watched them all in chronological order, I think that might have been the first time I saw Jason Goes to Hell in its entirety, or even at all. And the whole time I'm just like, am I wasting my time? Like, what is this?
It was like probably the first one, because I watched all of them too, and I'm like, these are all good times. I think that was the first time I was just like, I want to shut this off. Like, this is not fun. This is just like weird. Like, and I love me some weird movies, but it was just like, this kind of ruins the whole franchise for me.
Yeah.
Like, at least with like Jason, like Takes Manhattan, it's just like, oh, now he's in New York. What's he going to do?
Yeah. Cause that was the first time out of Crystal Lake.
I think didn't he go to, or like anywhere like farther away from Crystal Lake, right? Because I think he left to go to like the suburbs in one of them, or.
Well, that would have been Freddy versus Jason.
Well, he does do that, yeah. But wasn't, or no, they did all go to Crystal Lake at some point.
It was at least on the same grounds, because I know, and shit, which one was it? And the actual Crystal Lake camp, and they built, I think, something else.
Like around there.
Around, yeah.
So it's like in the same vicinity. So like, yeah, Jason Takes Manhattan is the first time he actually like, because he, where did they find him at in that one? It's like, he's in the water, isn't he? Like they fish him out?
So he was, yep. Because in the New Blood, that's when they had all the chains, chains on him. So they got him back down there. Yeah, they fish.
He's on a boat when he gets to New York.
Right. Yeah, because I think they caught him in like one of the casting nets.
Mm-hmm. I think Jason 8's fun, but it's definitely like, me looking at it from a filmmaker's perspective, I'm like, they did not film this in New York. These are all just like cheap sets.
And that's like, again, I didn't realize how much shit is actually like shot in Canada, and like how I like film sets. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm a big The Office fan, and when I listen to The Office, you know, I thought it would just been in a building that they're in. No, it's just built sets.
Well, it's the my mind. The building I actually been to, it's in LA. It's up in like, I think it's up in like Sherman Oaks or Van Nuys. Like the actual, yeah. I've been to the office building.
That's awesome.
Where they film the exteriors. And like Parks and Rec, I don't know if you watch that too.
Yeah.
Their city hall for Pawnee, which is not a real city,
yeah,
is Pasadena's city hall.
Really?
Yeah, that's the exterior for their town hall.
Yeah, I'm the household is split. Like me and my wife, we like both, but I'm more office, she's more Parks and Rec. She idolizes Leslie Knope.
So. I love both shows. I think they're both different comedy styles. Like,
yes,
Parks and Rec's definitely more fun. Office is very much like awkward, uncomfortable.
Yeah. I do like. I'm not to get political, but what I will say is I'm surprised that people have not tried canceling The Office yet.
Oh, I think they've been trying.
Have they? Okay,
I think they've been trying.
Because I rewatch it and I'm just like, damn, this would not be made today. During
nope. They've been trying to cancel a lot of things. They've been trying to cancel Tropic Thunder for years too. Like,
but they don't get it.
That's what
it's
I say.
It's a joke in itself. It's making fun of it. It's like on purpose.
It's not even making fun of like what he's doing. It's making fun of like actors and oblivious actors who go to that length.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. That's the whole point.
But Friday. So yeah, Freddy versus Jason. This, did we say which is our, we said part two is my favorite. I would say this might be a close second.
I said, well, if we're talking like original Friday the 13th movies, not like Freddy versus Jason or Friday the 13th reboot, I would say probably my favorites, part six, then maybe part two, and then the first one, just for being the first.
We're going to do top three. I'll probably go two, one, and eight.
Okay. And
yeah,
then,
again, because I view this more as a Freddy film than a Jason film.
It's like a spinoff from, like, the series.
Yeah, because, like, Jason essentially just his mindless slave during this whole one.
Jason's also, like, barely in it compared to Freddy.
Yeah, that's true.
It makes it way more of a Freddy movie.
I do I did love the cornfield scene in this one though. And the I can't remember the character's name, but when he gets burned on the back, when he gets murdered in the bathtub.
Oh yeah.
Bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
this one has a lot of like good kills in it. That's like, when you see these crossover movies, you would expect them to be PG-13 to get more people in, but they straight up just still went with the R rating. Because, like, you can't do Freddy versus Jason. Like, because they tried doing it, or they did do it with one of the Alien versus Predators, right? It was PG-13 for one of them, I think.
You know, it's right behind me. Let me...
I don't know if it was the first or the second one.
The first one was PG-13. Requiem was R.
Mm-hmm.
Which, those...
It's like the phase when everybody was trying to cross over everything.
Yeah. That was again, I'm a completionist. I needed it, but I don't think I'll ever watch those movies again.
Well, I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one because everyone just says it's horribly lit, that you can't even see anything.
There is a scene where a predator and a human just go like
Oh, I've seen that scene. I've seen
it. That says enough. Like, it's... Oof.
Isn't that where, like, the Predator adopts a human as, like, it's, like... There's something in that movie where, like, the Predator is, like, you're one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's... So, growing up, I loved the Predator movies more. And as I've gotten older, kind of... When I was younger, Friday the 13th, like, Jason was, like... the top tier for me. And as I've gotten older, I've shifted more to Halloween.
That's how I've always been Michael. Like,
and I've always loved Michael Myers, but there was something about Jason that just, I guess terrified me more. But yeah, that's how I feel about Alien and Predators. Like, I love the Alien movies more now that I'm older. I don't know why. It's just tastes change.
I think the Xenomorph is more terrifying than how the Predator is. The Predator is terrifying for, like, it can be invisible. Like, it's got a horrifying look, too. But the Xenomorph is just, like, disgustingly, like...
grotesque. Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure, like, because that's one of the most unique designs ever, too.
Yeah.
And it's, like, before that, like, aliens used to just be, like, just big heads, like, green, kind of like E.T., And this was just like disgustingly like insect-like. It's like no one had ever seen that before.
Right. Speaking of E.T., I guess E.T. is supposed to get a sequel that was supposed to be like super dark and like a horror movie.
I thought I read something about E.T. and Alien, how like they didn't want something about it. They didn't want them playing together because people would, they didn't want kids going to see Alien and thinking that's what E.T. would become.
I mean, that makes sense.
That's true.
I can understand that.
There was something I read about like E.T. and Alien and something going on with it. E.T. versus Xenomorph.
I mean, who would win that one, honestly?
E.T. would win it.
He would win it.
He'd just get on his bike and go home.
Oh, man. He'd light the way. All right.
With Freddy versus Jason, there's so many cool things about it too, how it goes back and forth between the dream world, and I think it's cool going back and forth between Crystal Lake and Elm Street.
Yeah, because they at the end they end up going back
to Crystal Lake.
Crystal Lake, yeah.
The majority of the movie is like Elm Street, and it's kind of like, I don't know if it's paying homage or if it's trying to like do callbacks to the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
I would have to say it has to be paying some type of tribute. Yeah, I'm just like, God, this movie's ridiculous.
This is like full Freddy going like super campy and just Robert Englund just going all out.
I'd say it's probably the best Freddy design out of all of them.
It's pretty good. I like, it's not a Freddy design, but I love New Nightmare or Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
With the more realistic burns and everything.
Yeah, it's not like, because it's not Freddy, but it's... it's like a weird mix of Fred, like Myth Freddy and Real Freddy.
Yeah.
That one's a cool movie too. That was like,
cause it breaks that fourth wall.
It's like him. It was like him testing Scream before Scream.
Right. the remake or.
Yeah. Let's move on to the remake. I got some issues with it.
All right. Let's hear your issues.
So what I do not like about this movie is it starts off with a group of teenagers, like one does with a movie. Then they're all killed in the first 30 minutes. And then the title card comes up. And then it's a new batch of characters.
It's very muddy.
It's very... I didn't know about this until this week, that the director of this did the remake for Texas Chainsaw as well. Like the very first remake.
Oh. With Jessica Biel?
Mm-hmm.
That... I think let me say my remake thing really quick. When I'd say until maybe 5 years ago, I used to get so pissed when I heard something was going to get remade.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I've gotten a little older, I'm like, okay, it's cool to see other people's interpretation of what the story can be. So with that being said, I don't really, I'm all in on remakes, whether it's like a reboot, like with Halloween, Scream, what they're doing. This is probably one of my least favorite. The Evil Dead is probably my favorite.
I really love the remake of that.
The fact that you just told me that he did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which that one was fucking great. In my opinion, compared to this one being kind of garbage, they throw too much in the beginning. Like they essentially compact the first two or three movies
in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
And that literally could have just been the movie, is that first 30 minutes.
Yeah. And then I feel like they also, and I'm probably contradicting myself with what Rob Zombie did with Michael Myers compared to Jason, I feel like they humanize him a little too much during this.
A little bit.
In the sense of, like, he's keeping somebody hostage.
And this one, too, it's like, this is them trying to get, like a Jason superhero origin story, because there's that scene where he gets the mask and he puts it on all dramatic, and it's like, now he's Jason.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, man. You know, I'm a big fan of Jared Padalecki. I love the House of Wax remake he was in. I'm a big fan of Supernatural.
That's the other. I was like, he's in another horror remake. I just don't remember House of Wax.
And then Jensen Ackles, he did the My Bloody Valentine 3D remake.
That one, yep.
Which is super underrated. I almost want to say this didn't need to be remade. This one in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've read is that the rights are all tied up now.
Well, the rights are owned. They're owned now.
They are owned.
Yeah.
Did Cunningham get them back?
So what I was reading is that I don't know if it's Cunningham who owns it, but where is it? I think it's confirmed. LeBron James Production Company has the rights to Friday the 13th.
Interesting.
And that they're actually working on a... So 2 years ago, back in July, the director of Jason 6, or Friday the 13th 6, was in talks to look over a script called Jason Never Dies, which will be a direct sequel to Jason Lives, and it's going to ignore everything past Jason, like Friday the 13th 6.
Huh.
That's the latest update I've seen.
Okay.
But I did see the whole thing of like Cunningham and I think Victor Miller were arguing over the rights, right?
Yeah.
Because like who really wrote the script and...
Yeah, it's... I'm okay with like forgetting some of the sequels because I think that's one thing that helped the Halloween franchise because of how dumb like Resurrection and H2O actually were. And you know, I was a big fan of what who did Halloween 2018?
Danny McBride and David Gordon Green.
Yes. And which is crazy because you have two people that are known for making comedy and can make a great horror film. Jordan Peele is another.
Well, Jordan Peele I'm excited about with his it's not even like a reboot. It's like a reimagining of Candyman or like a continuation.
I forget the female director that's doing it. And I don't watch trailers. That's one I actually was so intrigued by. And I thought everything looked great besides the digital bees. That was my only complaint.
Well, I'm interested in seeing it because there is, I think Tony Todd is in it.
But, oh, is he?
Okay. But I don't know if he's going to, I don't know if he's going to be Candyman or if it's going to be like I don't know how to pronounce the main guy's name or if he's going to become like a new reincarnated.
Okay. I from what I've heard, he's not going to be Candyman, but who knows? Shit can change.
I know. It's like, that's weird. I watched Hellfest and Tony Todd was in it and he's only in it for like that 2 minutes.
What'd you think of Hellfest?
I had fun with it, so I was making fun of it with my girlfriend because we worked at Universal and we worked like a horror night. And the one in Los Angeles, there's an upper level and a lower lot. And the lower lot, you have to go down 4 long escalators to get there. So I was like, imagine this killer at Universal. These people went to the lower lot to go to the mazes down there. Just imagine this killer like sprinting to the escalators and just standing there waiting. And he's like, oh shit, I gotta go here. And like he sprints and then just stands there.
So I had fun with it too. And that's a movie I feel like I want a little more backstory of.
I think they're supposed to make a sequel for it, which I would be down for because I think it's a fun concept. Just the way I was thinking about it because I worked at a theme park. I'm just like, this doesn't make sense.
Well, more of how it ended.
Yes.
You know, spoiler. Fast forward the next 10 seconds, but it just seemed like a normal suburban family guy.
And he's just like, he just does it. And he changes his costume every year.
Right. And that's the thing, like, what compels them to do it just every year, you know?
That's what I was interested in, like what triggered him to do it.
Right, and how long has he been doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Because do the masks signify how many years he has been, or does he just have them to choose from?
Well, because the thing about that movie, too, real quick, is, like, I was like, there's no way this guy can go from, like, thing to thing because he's in one getup. Like, every section of a park has a different theme, but then they go on the ride, and it's like, oh, that's everybody in that part.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know, I was thinking about it. It's just like me logistically thinking at Universal LA, there's no way he could go down to the lower lot. That takes like 10 minutes just to get down.
Really? That's...
And by the time he would get down, they're probably going back up. So then he's like, oh, fuck, I got to go down. And I mean, there's stairs on the side he could go down, but...
Yeah, so you don't have like... There wasn't like any like side hidden doors for employees only that they could have found and...
Well, there was for employees, you could take a, there was like trams you could take down.
Okay.
But for the most part, everybody just took the escalators.
Gotcha.
Because I think they used to have the trams. I think they got rid of it because people were abusing it for being late and whatnot. So they were like, all right, can't do that because people were abusing it. So like when I had a couple shifts on the lower lot, I had to schedule me walking to that venue and scheduling like 10 minutes just to go down the escalators.
Oh, really?
It was rough. Especially when you're running late and you have to go through tourists and you're just trying to sprint down.
That's funny.
It was the worst. Or like people still try to ask you questions when you're trying to go to your shift and I'm just like, nope.
Dude, that's I hate that because I work retail and just walking into the store, not even clocked in yet, obviously like lunch bag and coat in hand, and they still try and stop you to for help.
Well, the thing about Universal is like you were in your uniform until you got to like off site or like out of sight. So like walking to the break room, people could still talk to you. And I'm just like, please stop. Like, I only got 30 minutes.
That's how I feel.
But back to the reboot. Like, yeah, this reboot doesn't need to happen. It doesn't need to exist. Like, I'm okay if they, because I think it came out when they did the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot. Because I think they were trying to revitalize all of them.
That one, oof. That's a which I did an episode on it, and I was actually a big fan of it when it came out, and it has not held up over time.
Freddy looks bad in it.
I'll give credit where it's due. I think Jackie Earle Haley did.
He's a good actor. I like him.
Yeah, but talk about muddy. That whole fucking movie is a train wreck.
I just like with the Friday the 13th, I just don't like how the only connective tissue between the first 30 minutes and the last half is like, oh, my sister was part of that group. I got to find her.
Right. And then Jason runs. He runs.
He never runs.
And I haven't seen the fan films, Never Hike Alone. I don't know if you have or not.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, no.
And one out of 12 movies, he runs. Like, nah, man. I can suspend my disbelief pretty high. And I laughed so hard when I came and saw that.
Not my Jason.
Not my Jason, nope. And like, again, you feel nothing for any of the characters in this one.
No, it's like...
Even the girl that's held hostage.
Mm-hmm. And it's also so weird because like because who is it? The guy from Supernatural, Jared Padalecki. He's like looking for his sister. And then the girlfriend of one of the dudes is trying to help him now. But the guy's also being a complete dick.
And again, that I cannot wait for that dude to get murdered.
Right. And it's like the only people you don't want to get murdered is Jared and the girl.
Right.
Because it's like they're the only two decent people.
Right.
Everybody else is horrible.
God. Again, I guess they kind of kept that though, where you don't care about any of the characters, and
which is probably what I would have to give credit to this whole franchise is at the end of the day, they know what they're doing. They're not trying to give all these characters backstories and character arcs. They literally just are bodies for Jason.
Yeah.
The producers know what this is. They're not trying to make them like super philosophical and deep. So I got to respect them for that.
Absolutely.
It's like what we were talking about with Michael Bay. It's like he knows what he's doing.
I do, again, so a good chunk of these have different cuts. So I don't think I've ever seen the extended unrated cut. So again, I'm an open-minded person. When I see that, my opinion might slightly change a little bit
Of the
of the
remake?
yeah.
Oh, I saw the extended cut. It won't.
It won't. Fair.
That's the one I watched.
Right. Good to know.
Won't change.
Oh
But
man.
yeah, I haven't seen all the cuts of, 'cause I'm, yeah, I try to remember what all, which cuts are different on each disc.
So there was a lot of back and forth with these, 'cause I know they took stuff, they put stuff in that was originally taken out, which is one of the big things that they had issues with, when the box set first originally went out. Some of the cuts is just in the extra stuff is just in the special features, but in part one or two, part one, when the hitchhiker girl gets her throat slit, they before it whites out, it shows more of the blood coming out than it did in previous cuts. So that was
Okay.
the big ones.
I wish with, 'cause I heard with My Bloody Valentine, another Scream Factory release, I heard when it originally got released, they had to cut back a lot of the gore 'cause it was way gorier. But I think the version I watched is that version. I don't know if they'll ever release the how it originally was supposed to be.
They hold on. I have that right behind me too. Don't even have it open yet.
Because
I'm trying.
I don't have the steel book. I have the regular, like,
Yeah, of the Scream Factory one.
yeah, I have that one.
Disc two does have the un it's the is the uncut version of the original negative. So that
Oh,
should be the extra.
then I probably watch that one. Because usually when I get like Blu-rays, I'll go for the unrated, uncut, or like a director's cut. I'll watch that one.
And anytime I hear like original cut, never before seen, I'm just like, here, take my money. Whatever.
Like with Blade Runner, I have the one that's like all five cuts. I got it for like $10. I was like, I'll just get that one.
I think I only have the final cut, and that's the one I've only seen. Which I heard that's the best one.
That is the best one.
So.
But it's so cool, like finding like, and the same thing with the Ari Aster's Midsommar. They released the director's cut.
Which I know they came out with a physical copy of it sometime last year. Apple TV did have it as well, which I haven't watched it yet, but it's like, have you?
I haven't watched it yet because I have a PS4 and I guess 4K doesn't play on it. So
Gotcha.
I was like, once I get the PS5, I can watch.
That so Midsommar was a very good movie. That's not a movie I can just put on
No.
any time. Like I probably won't revisit it again for another 6 months to a year.
Probably
It's
same.
just you know.
Like Hereditary, I could probably throw on, but even then, it's probably the same thing where it's just like those movies are so heavy with like everything.
When so I saw Hereditary in theaters, and then when so where I work, I always make sure I'm scheduled every Tuesday morning so I can just go in and grab every new release. And I watched it when it came out, and I was like, yep, was just as good. I don't need to watch this again for a while.
That's how it is with a lot of movies. I'll watch them. I'll be like, cool. I'm like, good. I don't need to watch it. Like, but
There's like, I'll watch the dumbest shit. Like I there are so many movies that I need to watch, but I'll fucking just rewatch Hot Tub Time Machine 6 times in a row before like I watch an actual one I probably should.
that's how I am. I'll either be like that or I'll be like, oh, I'll just go watch YouTube. Like,
But I feel like that's a good thing to have, and I think that was a big thing with my show is I was constantly just. What's new? What's new? Do I need to watch? I wasn't revisiting anything I enjoyed or was like a good, like, I guess, mental health space for me. Just decompress. So like, that's the one thing I've been trying to do a lot more too.
You could do with your show like revisiting, like I know with one of the reviews I did very early on was when the new Black Christmas came out. I
Yeah.
went and watched the old Black Christmas and did like a comparison of the two.
Like the OG or the 2006 one?
The 74 one.
Okay.
Like the very original one, which I also did not know the guy that did Christmas Story directed Black Christmas.
Yep.
was like, what?
I do like, again, I need to figure out like audio and stuff for it, but you know, I have friends that are, and obviously into horror as well. And I want to do like a watch along stuff too. So I have some ideas.
I've been trying to do that too. Like do like a, like commentary track over a movie, but yeah. Trying to figure out with a podcast or like, that might have to be like a video thing.
There's one show that I know does it quite a bit, but they have Gore Lords. They were doing that and it was interesting.
Okay. I'll have to look into it, but that would be fun. That'd be fun for your show.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to wrap up Friday the 13th. We kind of jumped all over. Well, maybe we can do Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street and be more strict on.
I mean, let's be honest. This whole franchise jumps all over. So we were just sticking with the formula.
That's true. Halloween, we can at least be like, all right, 1 and 2, and then like 3, and then just jump around.
All right.
Because they didn't know what they were doing after John left.
How many times did Laurie Strode die?
Too many. Well, then Carpenter, I remember Carpenter was like, I'm never going to direct it because they didn't give him his money.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he's like,
oh, I don't know if I would ever want to meet him in person.
I probably would. I probably want to play video games with him.
So like part of me wants to, but just from how I've heard he can be, I don't want like a bad experience. And then it just like diminishes everything I've ever loved that he's done.
Just ruins everything.
You just catch him on one bad day. So like I've actually had an experience like that. So Jeff Daniels lives in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to work in Ann Arbor and he came into the store and people were on the walkie like, oh, Jeff Daniels is in here. And I was like, no, he's not. Because I thought he lived in like fucking, you know, Cali or New York or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize he was walking my way. And I was talking about to a coworker how much I loved Arachnophobia. And I turn, he stops. I can physically see this man sigh like, turn around and walk the long way out of the store just so he didn't have to walk past me to interact with me.
Like I've heard that about him.
Yeah,
I've heard that about Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, I have a buddy I work with that he used to play baseball or hockey with his son, and he could be kind of a dick.
That's what because when I was at Universal, they're like, obviously we're in Los Angeles. Celebrities do come here and buy out, like not buy out the park, but they'll be there just with their family. They don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
I guess one time Jennifer Garner was there and I guess a bunch of people bombarded her when she was literally just there just with her family.
And I get it. You know, like I wasn't going to go up and talk to him or anything. Like I can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Want like your alone time and shit.
I had to, I talked to Travis Barker from Blink-182 at Universal. I told him to go to the back of the line.
That's funny. Did he laugh or?
No, well, because I didn't know it was him at first. Oh, he just,
okay.
This is during horror nights. He comes up like on the side of me and I'm already like with a customer. And he's like, is this where we order? I'm like, no, you have to go to the back of the line. Like there's more people. And then they're standing in the queue with like him and like he had all his kids and like their friends. And I like look up and he's like looking away and I see his like tattoo on his face and I go, Travis?
Oh my God.
I was like, I told him to go to the back of the line.
Hilarious. I actually almost got into a fight with MGK at a Blink-182 show.
Oh really?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Well, I won't delve into what happened because on one end I might look like an asshole, but the other end he'll definitely look like an asshole. And I know people that worked for him. Yeah. Just know it almost happened.
This was before like the whole Eminem beef with him, right? Or around that time.
This was like 9 years ago.
I was like, my favorite thing that came out of the Eminem MGK beef was like Eminem beat him so bad that he changed genres of music on his next album.
You know, I like everything. Some of his shit is catchy. I'm not even gonna like say it's not great, but it can be catchy.
That's fair. I mean, that's fair. But I think that's gonna wrap up the show. Thanks so much for joining. This is a lot of
fun. Thanks for having me, man. I had a lot of fun. I'm glad we were finally able to do this.
We'll have to figure out something to do for next time, like Halloween, or I'll have to come on your show at some point.
Yes, I'm down.
Well, let's have you promote your show one more time before we end the show.
Yeah, From the Depths Podcast. My Instagram, which I primarily use, is just at From the Depths Podcast. I post, again, part-time podcaster, full-time horror nerd. I'll post when I have shows, but I'll also post like the cool shit that I own. Like, I just went to a thrift store with my wife, and I spent a stupid amount of money on VHSs that just to collect. I have some shirts and stickers available at fromthedeptspod.bigcartel.com. And really quick, one thing I do want to plug is I always butcher her name, but Mona Cabini is an author, and she just dropped her new book called Vanilla, which is available on Amazon. I'm currently reading her first one called The Bell Chime, but go check both of those out. You can follow her on Instagram at Morality of Horror or In Horror. I'll let you know. I'm blanking out right now. Definitely check my show out. Check her stuff out. Definitely keep listening to Lighting Up the Marquee.
Please.
I'm stoked we were finally able to do this.
I'm stoked about it too. This was a lot of fun. I'll plug everything. Like, send me everything. I'll plug it in the description. Tag everything on Instagram. I'll get it all taken care of.
Perfect.
You can listen to us anywhere you listen to podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher. Remember, leave us a review, rate us. Helps out the show a lot. We're on Instagram and Facebook. More active on Instagram, but definitely check us out there. Be on the lookout next week. We actually have an episode coming out. Other than that, we release an episode every other Friday. But thank you, Tyler, for joining again.
Thank you, man.
And until next time, I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.